Here along with Pigskin Preacher, Matty T driving the car. We're filling in for Justin Acree and a kinder, gentler zone on Friday night. And a Monday morning will also be kinder and gentler. It'll be myself along with RJ Hawk. And, of course, Matt Harris will be joining us on Monday as well. So a kinder, gentler, long weekend for zone listeners.
You know, that's a lot to look forward to over the weekend because that sounds like a good show on Monday. It does. Well, I might be tuning in myself to listen to that.
We'll be at the Embassy Suites for the Little Rock Touchdown Club. I know we'll be talking recruiting, which is not one of my areas of expertise, but hey, I'll be brushing up on it over the weekend.
If Matt Harris shows up and he's not wearing that V-neck T-shirt, ask him why he isn't.
I haven't seen anything other than a suit and tie from Matt Harris.
He cleans up so well.
I don't know what he looks like dirty.
When he wears that V-neck T-shirt, it's like he's like a really tall Justin Bieber.
We'll be joined by Robbie Nyswanger of Arkansas News Bureau shortly here on the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. You heard Coach Bielema, and he talked about this before the season even started because, of course, the season, the second game of the year was in Little Rock against Samford with a 10-point win against Samford, which I think might have been a little bit of a window into the sort of year that the Razorbacks were about to have. He refers to the road when it comes to playing.
We got a road game. Yeah. You're not really winning friends and influencing people in Central Arkansas when you call that a road game.
Look, and I understand it's a 2.5-hour drive, and it's also the same idea like if you were going to drive from Fayetteville to Tulsa, which is it's closer to Tulsa. That's not going to be a home game. And you do have a significant amount of Razorback fans that play in Tulsa, but it's not Arkansas.
Well, boo-hoo-hoo, it's still Arkansas.
It's not the capital of Arkansas.
Exactly.
Little Rock is.
The leading city, the first city in Arkansas.
A place
Little
where
Rock.
They've been playing home games for decades. I mean, we're talking half a century longer than that. So, I don't know. I mean, I understand his point. You know, you do have to get on the bus. You do have to make plans for a trip. But then again, look, I mean, Ole Miss plays in Oxford. They stay an hour away the night before, so
aren't
call
the
it
Hawks
a home game, Coach.
Contractually obligated to play in Little Rock for a few more years? Isn't that correct?
As they should.
Okay, then I would tell the coach to quit talking about hitting the road. Okay, it's a home game, and just leave it lay. Son.
It almost feels to me like it's the start of making an excuse for a possible loss.
That is kind of what it is, and I'll tell you something worse than that. I showed up Wednesday to teach my Bible classes at church. I got the old people in the morning and not so old people at night. And I had a Razorback golf pullover. And some dude saw me in the lobby and said, "Hey, you look like Coach Bielema." So I smacked him in the head. No, I did. And I said, man, I got to quit eating all that pizza. You know, maybe it's time to cut back a little bit.
Robbie Nyswanger joining us here on the hotline. Robbie, thanks for joining us today, and what do you do on a bye week when the Razorbacks aren't playing?
Well, this time of year, I cover basketball.
Makes sense, so, I guess.
Yeah, it's never really a bye week when it's this late, unfortunately. But now, I will try my best tomorrow. You know, I'll have the two kids running around wanting to play tomorrow morning, but I will try my best to watch some football tomorrow, so we'll see if I get anything accomplished there.
Well, and the Hogs do have a home game tonight. Bud Walton taking on the Ragin' Cajuns of the University of Louisiana. That's a team that I'll see here in Little Rock at some point against UALR. The Hogs will come in after a season-opening victory against SIU Edwardsville. Louisiana, usually one of the better teams in the Sun Belt, Robbie. So when you look at this game today, you got Southern Methodist coming in Monday. Larry Brown's always going to have a good team. And then the Maui trip, either you got Cal, either Syracuse or Minnesota, then who knows after that. So this is somewhat of a tune-up for what will be, I think, the toughest part of the non-conference schedule.
Yeah, it is. And it's amazing to think that Maui's, what, almost only like a week and a half away now, right? Something like that. So it's coming up quick. There are some very, very important games for this program. You're going to have a good showing in Maui if you want to, you know, take a step toward the NCAA tournament. And so there's not many opportunities left. And it's been a week since the opener, so I think that you know, Mike Anderson and the guys are ready to get back on the floor. They feel like the Ragin' Cajuns will present, you know, somewhat of a test for them just because they like to get up and down the floor as well. So Mike said yesterday, the other day, going to be an entertaining game. We'll see if that actually, you know, happens on tonight. But it's a very important game, I think, for this group to try to, you know, get some things fine-tuned and get them ready, because you're right, they've got another test, a pretty quick turnaround with SMU on Monday.
Well, it looked like they were able to beat SIU Edwardsville up and down the court pretty easily. Yeah. Got to the line 35 times, making 25 of those shots. The Hogs shot over 51% from the field in a 99-65 win over SIU Edwardsville. Obviously, it's the first game of the season, but 99 points against anybody, and the one thing that the Razorbacks really had trouble doing last year was shooting the ball, but looks like they really shot the ball very well in the opener.
They did. That's the key. I mean, how well can they shoot, you know, three-point shots and really jump shots and you know, that kind of thing? That's going to be a very important question for this team this year. Who can you trust to knock down those shots? And obviously, Antoine Bell had a great opener. But, you know, there are other guys that did as well. Mardrakus Wade hit at least one, I think, and Kiko Hadar hit one. So you got a little bit of a variety of guys, you know, that were able to have some success behind the three-point line. That's critical for this team. They're much better inside. They've got much more versatility, much more athleticism inside. So you feel good about where they are there. But, you know, can they get solid outside shooting this year? Can they get solid and steady point guard play? I mean, these are the keys to the season for this team.
And now you really start to get into the rhythm of a season, because it's been a week since the season opener against SIU Edwardsville. And over the next week, you get the game Louisiana Southern Methodist. And then that Maui Invitational always seems to me, I mean, it's months away from tournament-style play, but that's really where you're going to get the so-called tournament-style play with three games in 3 days.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, like I said earlier, this it's a huge, huge trip for Arkansas just because they don't have many non-conference tests. I mean, this is a pretty light schedule outside of Maui. You play Clemson at home, you play SMU at home. But other than that, that's it. So you've got to make an impression if you're Arkansas, and everybody knows that at this point. You start that tournament with California. You could get Syracuse in the second round, depending on how things shake out. There's a couple chances to make an impression. Arkansas's really got to capitalize on it. If not, you're really starting behind then when you open SEC play, because you know there's not going to be as many chances to make an impression there. So it's a big trip for Arkansas. That's why these two games coming up here at home, these are very important tune-ups, so they can get over there and you know, be playing their best.
You know, Robbie Nyswanger joining us from the Arkansas News Bureau here on the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report. Robbie, I look at UALR's schedule this year. The men's team barely plays at home. I'm looking at the Arkansas schedule right now, and they don't even play on the road except for the three games against Maui. That, to me, looks like the Arkansas baseball schedule, where in February and March, I mean, they play almost nothing but home games. Is there any sort of thought about the team not going on the road for any non-conference game? Because you do learn a lot about your club when you are on the road, and it's different when you're in Maui, when you've got the sun and the surf and the best sushi in the world, and those aren't road games; those are neutral court. They don't go on the road until playing at A&M on January the 8th. So it makes me scratch my head a little bit, because I would think a coach would want his team to go on the road and see what he's got.
Yeah, I think it's disappointing. And you know, when we first got the schedule, it was probably about a month and a half ago. You know, that was one of the things that I saw, that you're not traveling. You got the game in Little Rock. You've got the Maui trip, and that's it. And we know where this team's weakness lies. This team's weakness has lied on, you know, it's been on the road. They haven't had any road success the last couple of years. Really even longer than that, but just talking since Mike Anderson got here, they've struggled on the road. They've struggled to win games on the road. And you're not testing yourself in non-conference play. So we're going to find out. You know, I remember last year I was down there for that game in College Station, which is their SEC opener, and that was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen them play. So we're going to see if that sort of thing happens again. And you know, if it does, the question is going to be, is it because you didn't test yourself, you know, in non-conference play? And we'll find out. And, you know, I got to imagine that they want to go on the road in non-conference play the next few years. I don't know why it didn't exactly happen on this schedule, but it's got to be a disappointment if you don't go and test yourself other than the Maui trip.
Well, they at least could go up to Searcy and play Harding on the road. That might be a step in the right direction.
And it would be an exciting atmosphere, too.
It would.
Yeah. Just grab anything. Just get something on the schedule. You know, even if it's just like a scrimmage or something.
Exactly.
You know? Just get in somebody else's gym. There you go. I like the sound of that.
Robbie, I'm glad that you referred to the game in at Verizon Arena as a home game. Does Coach Anderson ever talk about that being a road or a home game, the way that I hear Coach Bielema referring to the games in Central Arkansas as a road game?
Well, I mean, travel-wise, you know, I think everybody, you know, considers it a trip on the road somewhat, but I don't think he's going to chalk it up as, that's a road game on our schedule. I don't think he looks at it that way. I mean, it's a chance. and it's a chance that they enjoy, you know, to get down to Little Rock once a year, to get down to Central Arkansas, really let the fans come out and see them. And it's been a good game, I think, for Arkansas because, you know, the arena's, you know, gotten some fans in there. So that's been a good thing. And, you know, a lot of times they schedule it over, you know, right around the Christmas break, which is a good time to do it since there's not as many students up here on campus. And what is the game, on the 7th or something this year? I don't have the schedule in front of me.
They play against South Alabama.
Pearl Harbor Day.
December 21st.
The 21st, that's right. So that's good. It's right before Christmas. You know, there's not going to be anybody on campus up here. So it's a good chance to get out and go somewhere a little bit. And so, you know, it'll be good. I know the basketball program really enjoys it. You know, the football players, the football team, they enjoy playing in front of the crowd in Little Rock. There's no doubt about that. But I just think that, you know, to them there's a little bit of a hassle having to travel. But that's the way they feel about it. So we'll see.
Well, someone should tell the coach that he's amply compensated for that. So, you know, just shut up and come on down.
Well, I don't think he's trying to say at all that, you know, we don't want to play down there. I don't think that's...
Well, he's been complaining,
all.
Though. He did that earlier this year.
Well, you know, we got to get in the bus and we got to come down.
Yeah, boo-hoo-hoo. You know, it's a hard life, son.
Yeah, here goes the Little Rock debate all over again. Right?
Well, not meaning to get into that very much, you know.
They keep losing every game. There's not going to be a debate because nobody's going to come out to watch him in either place. So he needs to just win some games and quit whining about venues.
That Band-Aid does get ripped open every single year.
I'm curious what the attendance will be next weekend for the Mississippi State game. It should be, you know, because attendance hasn't been very impressive here this year at all as well.
Yeah, it's been on both sides. So when we see... And I know I'll see on Facebook and on Twitter people complaining about the attendance at War Memorial Stadium. It's been bad all year long because they haven't been a lot of fun to watch. But I will say this, you know, if you're hoping to see a Razorback win, come out next weekend. It's your best shot all year.
They got a really good chance to win this game. They do.
They need to win this game.
So quit deer hunting and come to the game, people. We're making a plea.
Or at least take a day off.
Yeah, take a day off from killing God's creation. And come watch them kill the Bulldogs.
Well, you said it's something that players really do still get up for. But when they're looking at this game against Mississippi State, and, you know, I thought it's the only game they could win in SEC play. I know there are a lot of people that might have felt the same way or that they might have ended up going winless in conference play. This next game against Mississippi State, and I know the idea is #1-0, but I don't think it's meant any more than this next Saturday. They're not going to beat LSU.
Yeah.
So... I mean, if you're looking for something positive to end the season on, instead of looking for little tiny positive, good, you know, tidbits in a 52-0 loss or whatever, I think this next game against the Bulldogs is the top of the mountain right now.
Yeah, and you know, I've said it before that, you know, there has been, you know, small steps as far as progress goes the last couple of weeks. Not what anybody wants, obviously. Everybody wants wins, but you know, at some point, the small steps need to translate to a win. And I think it's very important. I agree with you. I mean, this Little Rock game playing Mississippi State, you need something good to happen for this program at the end of the season. It hasn't been a memorable season by any means. There's been a lot of record blows for this group and this program right now. But you need to have something to build on as far as a win goes, and you need that to happen. And you're right. I mean, the best chance, obviously, is Mississippi State. The Bulldogs have not been great this year. But the thing is, if you're not prepared, Mississippi State's a team that will beat you because they have been in some ball games, several ball games this year. They just haven't found a way to win a lot. So you've got to be ready to go. You've got to be physical. You've got to be able to run the football against Mississippi State or else you're not going to win. And, of course, you've got to be able to stop them some, too. That's been the issue the last couple games, really.
Now, Robbie, let's say the Hogs have an inspired performance in a week. They beat Mississippi State. Then later on in the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss smashes Mississippi State. What does that mean for Mullen's status down there?
Because, I don't know.
I mean, you get the feeling that his high water mark was about 3 years ago, and since that time they've been getting progressively worse.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I do know this. We've seen Dan Mullen's name out in coaching searches for several years now, so you almost got the indication that he understood that he might have been hitting that high water mark and it was time to try to get another job somewhere. And, you know, I don't know if that's the case, but it just seems to have that perception. And certainly this has been a rough year for the Bulldogs. And I don't know how much patience they have down in Starkville. I guess we're going to find out.
Well, and it makes it even worse with things are going great in Oxford.
Right.
I mean, Freeze has got him going in the right direction. He's recruiting like crazy. You can just see those folks in Stark Vegas thinking, pushing the panic button, saying, we got to get somebody to deal with this guy.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I worked in Mississippi for a couple of years, and that sentiment is, that's there exactly. When I was there, Ole Miss was struggling, and Mississippi State was doing fairly well. So you have that sort of panic that, you know, our rival is you know, got a leg or two up on us. We've got to be able to cut our losses here and catch back up. And I mean, you have that happen in Alabama, too, with Alabama and Auburn. You know, mm-hmm. You see that happen all the time. So it's, in a state like that, you know, when you struggle, if your rival is doing better and having a good year, that really kind of intensifies everything. And I'm sure that's going on in Mississippi once again this year.
And then you've got the exact opposite situation in the state of Michigan, where Michigan State has pounded Michigan 5 out of 6 years. And the arrogant boneheads in Ann Arbor that run things, they keep telling themselves, well, we're still Michigan.
We have
nothing to worry about. I'm like, yeah, keep whistling past the graveyard, geniuses, because those guys are burying you right now.
Michigan and their drunk president.
I mean, she can't even make a speech without falling out of her chair. I mean, look, the place is imploding up there. It's terrible.
Yeah, you know, it's this time of year where we start to see the coaching carousel spin, and you just wonder, obviously, USC is open right now. I don't know what's going to happen to Texas now. You know, maybe Mac's going to survive this another year. But if you have, you know, if Michigan, which I don't think they are, if they were to decide they're going to cut ties, I mean, those are some big jobs that are open, and it will make it a very entertaining offseason if you have those big jobs open, because you know there's going to be some big names still in those spots.
Wouldn't you say that right now the guy that almost ought to be able to pick and choose where he goes and for how much he signs is Art Briles?
Yeah, but you know what? He just got that lucrative contract extension this week from Baylor.
Yeah.
I think it's like 10 years, $3.5 million per.
Well, I was in New Mexico, too, and Steve Alford just re-upped for 10 years, and then a month later he's in Westwood coaching UCLA, so you never know.
You're right. Those contracts don't necessarily mean anything, but you know, with Briles, it seems like he's a guy.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, think about what has happened at Baylor. Baylor was so bad that there were people in Oklahoma actually petitioning to get them thrown out of the Big 12. And now their basketball program is a major player. In football, they're top five. In women's basketball, they win national championships. I mean, that's a school that's gone from having players being murdered and covering the whole thing up to where they're almost at the top of the heap, which is pretty remarkable for a small private school in Waco, USA.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think Briles is in his, isn't he like in his mid-50s, something like that? So, you know, he's at the point of his career. If I were him, I'd stay put because he has turned Baylor into a great football program.
Say he gives it 15 years there, they're building statues outside the new stadium to him.
It's
the
idea. You're in a conference where you really can truly compete. I mean, they've got a chance to win that conference. I don't know if I'm him at this point in my life, in my career, you've got things established there. I don't know if you're trying to make a jump to, let's just say, the SEC.
And he knows the state of Texas like the back of his hand, so he does seemingly have a perfect situation right now.
Exactly. And, you know, if that's the case, good for Baylor, because it'll be really interesting and really entertaining to watch them over the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
If he continues to win, Bob Stoops' head is going to explode. He won't be able to deal with it.
Robbie, we've only got another minute or so, but I want to finish on, you know, it's that time of the year. You got football season wrapping up, basketball starting up. You couldn't have any more of a contrast in the SEC between the quality of play. You have 7 teams that are in the top 25 in football in the SEC, and only 3 schools that are even getting votes in top 25 in basketball. So, I mean, you're at the top of the list in football, and you're kind of at the Missouri Valley Conference level and maybe even below that in basketball.
It was
really
the best of times. It was the worst of times.
That's right, Mr. Dickens.
Wait, do they play basketball in the SEC? Wait, I'm confused.
Ouch.
Basketball in the SEC.
Wait, you said that's what you're going to be watching this weekend, right?
No, yeah, there's no doubt. And the conference has acknowledged that, and I think they're really trying to, first of all, you know, stepping in and wanting and almost demanding programs to bulk up their non-conference schedules. They understand that getting 3 teams into the NCAA tournament is not acceptable. So I think that they're doing everything they can to try to strengthen basketball in this conference. But, you know, the reality is football is king, and it's always going to be king. You just got to try to build some programs. Obviously, if Arkansas can get back into the mix, you know, that's when basketball was at its height, really, when Arkansas was playing very well in the SEC, and you had Kentucky as well, and you had programs like Alabama, and you know, even Auburn had a good run there for a while. So you've got to find a way to get these programs back And if that can happen, that's really going to help your league. So,
and it seems that
that's where they are right now.
The announcement coming from the athletic department about the new practice facility has got to go a long way in at least helping Arkansas get back to that level, along with the rest of the conference. I was surprised that the Razorbacks were the only team that did not have a fully dedicated practice facility for basketball. But when are they supposed to break ground on that?
Supposed to break ground on the December 7th. I guess I got my days confused earlier. This December 7th for that one. That's just before the Clemson game. So they'll break ground really in a couple weeks here, and it's scheduled to be completed sometime in 2015. And Mike Anderson thinks that's huge, really for recruiting reasons and recruiting purposes. That's a building you can show guys and say, you know, we're going to have this as well. We can compete with other teams. And you throw a Bud Walton Arena on top of it. So they feel like that's going to help them tremendously in recruiting.
How do the locker room facilities really line up against the rest of the Southeastern Conference? If you've been in any of the other locker rooms, I wonder if the – because that – I mean, that's where these guys spend a lot of their time. Maybe not as much in baseball where I see where guys spend the entire day in a clubhouse.
You mean they're not spending most of their time in the library?
Well,
what you're trying to tell me?
It's a good point.
Okay.
But, I mean, they do spend a ton of their time in the locker rooms and in the facilities. That has to have a lot to do with a kid's decision as to where he wants to go, aside from history and where he fits into the program. But the facilities really have to mean a lot because you are competing against top-notch facilities now.
They do. And, you know, I think that obviously this facility that they build is going to have a lounge area for players, obviously, and locker rooms in there in addition to the one in Bud Walton Arena. If it's anything like the football lounge, you know, we were in there earlier, you know, for media day in August in the football one, and it's a very, very nice area. So there's, you know, games in there, things like that, just a place to lounge and relax. So, you know, that's a very key thing for the football program. They feel like showing that kind of thing off is really going to help in recruiting. I got to imagine the same sort of emphasis will be put into the basketball practice facility too. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, every little bit helps. You don't want a kid just picking the school because of the lounge and the practice facility. But if you can have all of that kind of rolled into the complete package, you feel good about yourself and what you can get as far as prospects down the road.
Well, tip-off tonight at Bud Walton is 7 o'clock. Usually those games are here on the Buzz. I'll assume that tonight's game is as well. And we appreciate Robbie Neiswanger from Arkansas News Bureau joining us here on the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.